Name that's above every name. In three worlds, the precious name of Jesus. I feel it is an honor to stand in this pulpit, in this church. The integrity of your leadership is known worldwide. The vision of this church is known worldwide. Think of all the souls that are being reached through television ministry in Africa because of the sacrifice of you people. You've had a part in our ministry for many years, and our daughter Rebecca, and we're grateful. We're doing our best to bring the gospel to the unreached and unloved and needy people, not only in Mexico, but many other nations of the world. I rejoice that I know him. I rejoice that he permits me to serve him. I rejoice that I'm seeing the fruit of many years of labor. And not only in Mexico, but everywhere I go, I find that God is raising up a group of people who will accept a challenge and who dare to do impossible things for God. Why, who would ever thought that Calvary Cathedral will have a television station in Rwanda, in Africa, Uganda? It's beautiful to see the vision of this church. And we are so grateful for being a part of it. If we had a home, we really don't have a home church in America because we are gone all the time. We leave next week for Mexico City. God, there's so many waiting. I'll be preaching and challenging money and challenge a congregation next Sunday in the metropolis of Mexico City. We helped them and we bought property and now they're ready to build. The amazing thing is that God is just as big in Mexico as he is anywhere else in the world. And the faith will produce the same thing in Mexico as it produces anywhere in the rich world, in the richest nations of the world. I've had, in the last year, four times $1 million has been committed, either a piece of property worth $1 million or $1 million in cash by faith, which is about $86,000 or $87,000 U.S. dollars. One person. It's oftentimes in a service we may raise $5 million, $4 million, $3 million. And you wonder where it's coming from, even in the mountains. A man gave $1 million. I come this morning, if the title of the message, A Dare to Dare. A Dare to Dare. Oh, I'm looking for men that'll shoot at the stars. You hit one, there's a lot of them left. Oh, hallelujah. I like to walk with people and think big, walk, live holy, walk straight, and challenge the enemy on every corner. Thank God for the soul winners in this church. I know another church that's as active in reaching the lost in the streets as this church. And I think about a dare to dare. Think about Jonathan and his armor bearer in 1 Samuel chapter 14. You know, the Philistines, Saul only had 600 men in hiding. Jonathan told his armor, said, let's go over to the camp of the Philistines, see what God will do. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. His faith talking said that there's no restraint of what God can do. And then he had an agreement with his armor bearer, and they went over. And in verse 4:12, it says, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. Challenge them. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Faith talking. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And then when it tells how many they slew, then it says, and there was trembling. When you begin to move in God, God takes a part of it, and the whole said there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. It was a very great trembling. And then they turned on each other. Now, Jonathan accepted a dare. Yes, he did. And two men changed the course of battle. Two men, that Jonathan's armor, changed the whole course of battle. The enemy turned against themselves. They were in a state of such confusion. And if I, as a little boy, I remember I always had a quick temper. I was always in a fight in school. And I would draw a line and say, I dare you cross that line. Then I'd say, I'll double dog you, dare you. But one thing I never did take into consideration, the man I dared had a big brother. And I always ended up at the short end of the battle because the big brother black-blooded my nose and gave me cauliflower ears. But I was always daring somebody to do something. God is looking for people that dare to do more than ever done before. If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. God is looking for men and women that'll do what God called them to do and do it in a big way. God is a God of big things. Jonathan and him won a battle because they dared, took the dare of the Philistines. I come with about four or five dares this morning. A dare to stare. A dare to care. A dare to prayer. A dare to declare. And a dare to share. Stare, look at a lost world until it takes sleep from your eyes. I was awake at this morning at 4 o'clock praying for this service. I realize that I'm dealing with eternal creatures. Eternal spirits are sitting before me. And I'm accountable before God for the message I bring today. I want to bring you face to face with life in its fullness, the challenges of life, and the opportunities that God gives us if we take a dare. Look at the harvest all around you. Thank God you're winning. I don't know of another church that's doing as much in the streets as you are. So everything God is saying and doing today is do it quickly and do it consistently and do it in my name and for my glory. I'm so sick of exalted flesh. Oh my. Did you hear about a woman came to see me? This is not in the notes, but it'll go. A woman came to see me from Bogota, Colombia. Said, Brother Wayne, 28 years ago, you preached in Bogota. God changed my life. She ministered on International Stigeo with women, ministered with our daughter Rebecca in Spain many times. She told the story, said, a man went to buy a parrot. And there were three parrots on a pole. He asked, what's parrot number one worth? They said, $10,000. What do you mean, $10,000? You don't know. That parrot's a good evangelist. He preaches the gospel and people get saved. Oh, my. What's parrot number two worth? $20,000. What does he do? He not only preaches the gospel, he prays for the sick. People get healed. What's parrot number three worth? $50,000. What does he do? He doesn't do anything, but he says he's an apostle. Oh, my. I know there are apostles and prophets. Thank God I'm not attacked in the office. And I'm sick of people with a title without the ministry to confirm it. We say in Mexico, although you dress a monkey in silk, he's still a monkey. Do you give a man a title, that won't make him. The title doesn't make the man. The man's got to qualify for the title. Oh, my. I dare to dare. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dick Mills said, get off the love boat, get on the battleship. Indian brother was drafted in the army. He came up and said, how you like it? He doesn't like it. He said, I don't like it. Too much salute and too little shoot. We've got a lot of that going on in the world today. Get off the sidelines into the front lines. God is not looking for an audience. He's looking for an army. My, my. Too many spectators and too many cheerleaders, not enough players. Little boys playing church. And an adult was watching him. He said, where's the soldier? Said, they answered, we're all generals. No soldiers, just generals. We've got a lot of generals that need to be defrocked. We all live under the same heaven, but we all don't see the same horizon. There's a world out there that needs the message that you're sharing on the street and through the television, all of the ministers. I dare to stare. Let's go to John 4:34 and to 38. John 4:34-38. Jesus said, and my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look. Look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap wherein you bestowed no labor. Others have labored, and you are enter into their labors. We are one body. And as we labor together, God takes note of every effort, every sacrifice, every investment, every prayer, every intercession. The church moves on its knees. Not by jumps, the Spanish gets in the way. There's no such thing as immediate maturity. There may be instant oatmeal and instant cocoa, but no such thing as instant maturity. It's a step by step, step by step, step by step. You don't make a lieutenant colonel out of a corporal, but he may be material for a lieutenant colonel as he follows after God. God is looking for men and women that will dare to take the dare. Praise God. It's too long we've been standing on the promises while sitting on the premises. Thank God that this church is busy winning the lost. Get off the sidelines into the front lines. Stare at the lost world that takes sleep from your eyes. When's the last time you got up early to pray for that neighbor or that friend or that one out there in drugs? Intercession is not out of style. You see, when your heart breaks for a lost world, then that brokenness seems to melt the heart of those you're sharing with, and they become, we have four things no other generations have had. We have the transportation, we have the communication, we have the personnel. Probably 600 million spirit-filled people at least in the earth. And we have the finances to get the job. Actually, we're the richest people ever to inhabit planet earth in this great nation of ours. You can't love the Lord of harvests without loving the harvest that cost the blood of Jesus to redeem. It's one package. If you love him, you love a world that he died to save. I went to a church in one state. They sang those far out songs. They don't want much in glory land, just a cabin next to the throne. And I thought, oh, Lord, let them sing something in present tense. I've got to preach in this atmosphere. Finally, they did. They sang, I will not be moved. As far as I know, I didn't move them. And they hadn't been moved since. Finally, their church died. You see, they didn't live under a challenge. They didn't live under a dare. The one thing that we so desperately need to reach our world is a unified church with one burden, one spirit. Paul said you might be one in one accord, writing in many of his letters. And we find that in Mexico, there's still so much division in the body. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Love seeks not limits, only outlets. And when love controls our heart, we love what God loves and we hate what God hates. It just goes with it. A dare to prayer. Pray ye the Lord of harvest and send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:38. Your pastor needs to be supported by prayer. Your staff needs to be supported by prayer. Your missionaries need to be supported by prayer. Prayer took me to the field. I was praying in Bible school from 4 to 8, 15 hours a day. Wasn't fanaticism. I wanted to do the will of God. And God spoke to me in a voice that was audible. I had nothing going for me except the voice, that supernatural call. He dictated the call as I wrote it down. Thank God. I'm not putting myself in the Paul's category, but the same voice he heard on the Damascus Road, I heard. And God gave me direction, and we've been trying to follow that direction for these last 6 or 7 years on the mission field. God is looking for people that will pray ye the Lord of harvest, that you would send forth laborers into the harvest. Prayer kept us on the field. If I don't meet God every morning in prayer, I feel like I'm going out about half dressed. Because prayer is armor that guides and directs us and protects us from day to day. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. My. Let's permit our hearts to be broken by that which breaks the heart of God. Our daughter went to work in the Cambodian refugees, our youngest daughter, Paula, and she said, Daddy, I want my heart broken by that which breaks the heart of God. And that's the kind of broken heart that brings people to Jesus Christ. Oh, my. God didn't care how much we know until he knows how much we care. We express our burden with our deeds. Let us not live in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We need him. You see, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We are another man's property. In this case, we belong to the Savior. According to First Corinthians 6:19, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And what price? The blood of Jesus. Oh, my. And we dare not just live for ourselves. See, love seeks not limits, only outlets. A missionary came home on a ship one time from Africa. This story blesses me. And on the same ship was Teddy Roosevelt. He'd been on a safari hunting lions in Africa. When they got to New York Harbor, there was a band waiting for Teddy. But nobody's waiting for the broken missionary giving his life in Africa. Went to a hotel, got on his face, said, Lord, I give my life to the heathen of the world, and I come home, nobody's waiting for me. Lord said, son, who told you you were home? Who told you you were home? We're not home yet. Headed home, but we're not home yet. Oh, my. It'd be worth your trip to heaven just to watch me dance through the gate. I'm going to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, my Lord and my Master. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's cost too much to get to this point to throw in the towel now. No way. Not only a dare to stare, a dare to care, a dare to prayer, but a dare to declare. In Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant which I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, understand that I am he. Before me there was no other God formed, neither shall be any God after me. Declare, share his gospel with those around us. A girl in Beru, just a maid, heard somebody offer a gospel portion in the market, and she refused it, but they dropped it in her basket, shopping basket. She read it and liked it and wrote for a Bible. Quit her job, went home, and shared the gospel with her brother, her family. Her brother was the first convert and the first pastor. And later on, he was killed, and she took over. After a year, she sent a word to the mission society, send me somebody to baptize the converts. And they sent a man to baptize, and she took him for 2 weeks from village to village, and they baptized over 1,500 because she was available. See, God uses the person that's available, not the best qualified. I've seen men to come to Mexico with enough degrees to paper that wall and wouldn't recognize a devil the size of a Santa Fe freight and couldn't cast out one the size of a Spanish peanut. My. Stuffed head and emptied heart. Woo. Nothing wrong. I'm not against preparation. I'm not against the degrees if you know who to give the glory to and if you know why God is giving you those privileges. But so many people spend a lifetime like a ship anchored in the harbor. The wind blows it around and around, but it's not going anywhere. And they console themselves saying, well, my message is so superior that only a group will want it. That's not true. This gospel is universal. It'll change the hardest heart. It will transform many a life. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. I've taken many dares in my life. Remember, I was preaching in a town in the state where it's the most dangerous state in Mexico. And I had 200 men. I had a light over my head to where I could read the word, and just one bulb, and all the men were standing out in the darkness, and they wouldn't take the hats off when I read the word. There's about 200 men out there. I couldn't see them. In that part of the country, most everybody carried a gun. And all of a sudden, I was battling to preach, and somebody shot at me with a slingshot. And a rock passed by my extended nose at 60 per. That was all the fresh anointing I needed. I thought, you devil, you shoot at me with a slingshot? In 15 minutes, I had 200 men on the knees with a hat in their hands. That's the anointing of God. Oh, that anointing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I dare to share. I dare to declare. We are his witnesses. You're the only Bible some people are reading. My. Remember, I was preaching in another town where they were famous beating up every preacher that came through. And I was in open air. Before I realized what I'd said, I said, if God doesn't do miracles, so you can examine and confirm, I give you the privilege of running us out of town, tar and feathers. Man is with me, he's like to falling off the platform. He said, this brother's getting me in trouble. He said, if it happened, this is another Nazareth. Even Jesus didn't do too well there. But God healed a man who had a deaf son. The man that beat up the last pastor, his son was deaf, and God healed him. And there's churches all over that area today because of the power of God. Oh my, I took the dare. Took the dare. A cohort in one of the states boarding Guatemala, Quintana Roo, he set up his Bibles in the square, and they heard he was a pig Protestant, so they tore up his Bibles and said, if you come back, we'll kill you. So he came, after 4 years, he said, well, all they do is kill me. He went back, and he knocked on the door and offered the Bible. A woman said, does that book have anything to do? And she reached back and got a sheet of the Bible, of the Psalms. Said, yeah, that's a part of the Bible. What had happened was, a small merchant, they'll sell you one chili. in some of those small places, a little bit of salt. And he saw all that paper that the Bible's torn up. He went in and gathered it up, and every time anybody ordered a small order, he wrapped it in a sheet of the Bible, not knowing what he was doing, and evangelized the whole town. Well, oh, the devil oversteps himself time and time again. And the man sold all of his Bibles as a church of the day because the brother had he dared to go and dared to risk his life. And because he did, the word of God spread out all over the town. I knew a missionary that used to fly over the village and drop in gospels. Had a powerful TA system. He'd fly over a village and out of that PA system, he'd cover the whole village. Prepare to meet God and drop gospels. My, my. And he built churches that way. There's many ways to reach the lost. I knew a brother, Ray Flood, working in Kenya. And in Uganda, many years ago, you know how he built churches? He'd take a team out and get all the walls up, and then he'd take his truck out with loaded material into a central locality where all the churches needed a roof. Then he hired a helicopter to drop the building material on each building site where he had a team waiting. And he roofed 31 churches in 30 days. Oh, give me that kind of man. Oh, give me that kind of man on the mission fields of the day. Pray of this day. Praise God. He's in heaven now, but his work's following him. Praise and glory be unto God. A missionary went to evangelize an Indian church in South, Indian chief in South America. And the chief could read Spanish. So he offered him a New Testament with onion skin paper. The chief said, "Thank you, sir. I roll my own cigarettes." He said, "I'll make a lot of cigarette paper." He said, "Lord, I haven't had that problem before. What would I tell him?" Tell him he can use it that purpose if he promised to read each page before he smokes it. So he smoked his way through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Got up to John 3:16 and lost his appetite for nicotine and turned the whole tribe to Jesus. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Oh, he took the dare. He took the dare. He took the dare. Oh, my. I think God the Father and God the Son were talking one day. Said, "What's the greatest missionary challenge candidate in all of California?" Jesus said, "There's Myers down there in Pasadena in the Bible college begging us to send him to the mission field." He hadn't got much for him, going for him, but he prays a lot. And the Father said, "Let's risk it." Thank God he risked it. Thank God he took the risk. See, God uses those that are available, not those best prepared. If your life is available, God's looking for you. Because read 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, or 1 Corinthians 1, where he says he chooses the weak, the despised, and those that are not, to bring the not those that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, my. I had nothing but a call, no home church. Well, the pastor I had died right after I got to the field, took me in the Navy in Bremerton, Washington. I had no experience. Just out of a naval hospital, no health, to live destined to live on a diet the rest of my life. Only experience I had was a street corner. And I didn't have much going for me, didn't know the language. Well, I knew two or three words in Spanish. One is Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. And no and amigo, that's all I had, was my vocabulary. No in English and Spanish, it's the same. But God took the risk, and I'm glad I took the dare, and God took the risk. Hallelujah. And God has taken care of us all these years. Challenge to walk in the Spirit. Not to buy anything on credit. Not to share my personal needs with anybody. And not to borrow 10 pennies. I've lived like that, my wife and I have for 30. Well, I've been there 67 years. She's been there 62 at my side. We've proven God's faithfulness. I know this word works because I've proven it in the battle, in the heat of battle. Praise and glory be unto God. See, someone said, "Give not from the top of your purse, but from the bottom of your heart." A dare to share. You see, when God has control of your heart, he also has access to your billfold. We started out giving 50s and 100s. And to God be praised, God in his faithfulness is permitting us now to share thousands. But we never share a thousand without getting the national church to give two or three times that much. We multiply God's money. And the people don't see it as a foreign church, because they built most of it. But unless someone said, unless we give according to income, God may reduce our income according to our giving. My. Maybe I better say that again. Unless we give according to income, God may reduce our income according to our giving. God's looking for men that think big. If you've never, I dare you to do something that you've never done before. I dare you to go out on the street with these others that are going. I dare you to invest in the harvest like you've never invested. If you're not a tither, I dare you to try it. I've challenged people in Mexico, tithe for 1 year. And all that you lose, bring me the bill. I'll cover it. I've never had anybody cash in on that promise, but many of them hugged me till they cracked 3 ribs, so grateful that I got them out of their poverty into abundance. Unless we give unless we're givers and we're takers. When you give because you can't help it, you'll receive because you can't stop it. When God's love possesses you, giving is natural as breathing. When God's love possesses you, giving is as natural as breathing. My. Many years ago, I read there's $850 billion in the hands of the American church. That was many years ago. I don't know where it stands now. We can change the earthly for the heavenly. As you invest in your missionaries, you're taking earthly possessions in exchange for heavenly rewards. Take the dare. Look on the fields. It's a day of opportunity. God's riches gives us not things but opportunities. My. Pray ye the Lord of harvest that he'd send forth labor. Somebody, I can't say that. One man said, I can't say that. Why? He might send me. It's a possibility. But if you don't, see, some people, I knew a girl in Bible school wouldn't go to a China prayer meeting afraid God had sent her to China. I could have relieved her of any anxiety. God couldn't have used if he'd have sent her with that attitude. You have to love people to be able to win them to Christ. Praise his name. Hallelujah. You know, I dare to declare. What's the purpose of Pentecost? Acts 1 and 8. You are my witnesses. Most people revel in the blessings of Pentecost, but the purpose of Pentecost is to make us witnesses and win the lost, as you're doing in this church. It's time some people quit laying hands on Cadillacs and started laying hands on continents. I'm not against Cadillacs. Enjoy it, but keep a for sale sign in the boot, in the trunk, in case God wants it on short notice. Use your obedient faith. Just recently, in a church, I was preaching. A man gave his house, the pastor, gave his house to buy a piece of property along all of us together. And he bought a piece of property with a brand new house on it, that also big enough to build his church. The property. A house better than the one he sold. Nobody ever lived in it before. He moved in. Oh, when God gives you a loan, your sack to take the blessing home in. I love it, I love it, I love it. When God gives you a blessing, he'll sack it up for you. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My. Obedient faith has what I possess. When's the last time you denied yourself something just because you loved Jesus? I asked myself the same question. Just because I loved him. Oh, my. My. See, love is expressed by deeds. Love is not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. John said in 1 John 3. And James said, if you see your brother in need, and shut up your bowels of compassion. If he's hungry or naked and you don't clothe him or feed him, your faith is not worth very much. Faith has works to strengthen it. Why, I was preaching in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We had up on the overhead projector the names of the missionaries, how much money we're going to send each one for the next year. Spirit-filled Mennonite church. And one brother just had been saved. Didn't even have a job. He grasped the creative part of giving. When the church grabs that, you move into a dimension that only God knows the limitations. Creative faith is when you make a promise that only God can supply from sources He only knows. It's not based on what you have, it's based on what He owns and what He can supply through your faith. This man was promising for everything. He wanted $50 here and $100 there, and didn't even have, but he grabbed creative giving. Creative giving is when you promise something that only God can supply from sources He only knows, as I said. I went back 4 years later. He grabbed me and broke about three ribs in a Christian embrace. Said, "You know me, brother?" I said, "No, I'm sorry. I can't remember." He said, "You're the one I..." Said, "You told me that I either had some loose screws in my coconut, I was headed to be a millionaire." So, well, the latter part of your prophetic utterance came forth. "I've just made $4 million in the last 4 years. I said, "Great is your accountability, brother. Too much is given, much is required. God's given the light, this nation, the gospel light is no other nation. And how accountable we are in sharing that gospel and sharing the light with others. Praise and glory be unto God." I was preaching in Hotel Aristos in Mexico City. Woman had just received an inheritance. And we was buying property for that congregation. And she had, her inheritance was 2 million pesos at $3 to the peso, 3 pesos to the dollar. $660,000 she gave the whole inheritance. We bought a building for 3,500 people. Oh, my. When you begin to think as God thinks, you'll act accordingly, and hell will have ulcers, and heaven will rejoice. Yeah. Hallelujah. I like to give the devil our ulcers. Let him know that we know that we know that we know that we know that we're his masters in Jesus' name. Yeah. And that he is subject to the defeat, to his defeat at Calvary. Glory and honor be unto God. Hallelujah. Some of the largest orphans I've ever been able to build faith for have been in third world countries. In Tijuana, Mexico, I raised $2 million American dollars. Wow. In Tijuana, right down below San Diego. Preaching Harare, Zimbabwe, with 40% unemployment at that time. Over $1 million to get in the most beautiful church in all Zimbabwe was built by a man named Tom Duchel. He's built, and he got most of that money came from Zimbabwe. Now they don't even have, their money is worth nothing. They started printing $1 billion bills. Still, they'd buy nothing. Now they use foreign currency. But yet, in that town, those people gave a million American dollars to build that church. And it's the most beautiful one in Africa, one of the most beautiful. You see, There's seven good reasons to give into God. My introductions are so long. I want to give you 7 good reasons for giving to God. Giving makes me more like God. We sing to be like Jesus. You can't be like Jesus if you're not a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16. You'll never be like Jesus unless you dare to live and walk in his footsteps. Giving draws me closer to God. For your treasure is there where your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. Show me your checkbook and I'll show you where you stand with God. Giving is a victory over materialism. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Command every enjoyment. Command them to share. In this way, they take hold of life that's really life. That's 3. 4, giving strengthens my faith. Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse. Of course, you don't give your tithes. You pay your tithes and give offerings, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven pour out such blessings you can't receive it. Giving is an investment for eternity. Where do you plan to spend the rest of your life? Here or there? If it's investment in eternity, we need to be investing eternal things, the souls of men. Giving, give happily to those in need. Be ready to share whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up treasures in heaven, real treasures for you in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. 1 Timothy 6:18-19, Living Bible. Number 6, giving blesses me in return. A generous man will himself be blessed. Proverbs 22:9. Giving makes me happy. People rejoice for they had given freely and wholehearted to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29 and also Nehemiah 8:10. God pours out his choice and blessings to those that are cautious not to let anything stick to the hands. Sometimes some people have sticky fingers. They can't turn it loose because they miss so much of what God wants to do for them. I remember I wrote many years ago, we had a Chevrolet that had about 95,000 Mexican miles. Of course, now they have excellent roads, but then they weren't very good. God said, go to Dallas, I'll give you a new station wagon. I wrote everybody, we're going after a new wagon. I had no idea where it's going to come from. We didn't. And we got here, we was going to be in the Dallas a week, and nothing happened. The first 4 or 5 days, the devil said, you just lied. Where is that station wagon? But a brother called me and said, how many miles you got on that car? Went out to eat with him. I've known him since he's a kid. I said 95,000. He said, you need a new car. I thought, that's an understatement. So he said, well, I've ordered a Ford down to the bank. It's been repossessed. And I ordered the most expensive Chevrolet wagon, Caprice, that they make. If I get both of them, well, he was thinking, maybe you'll take out the payments. And I was waiting to say, I don't buy anything on credit, according to God. But he called me and said, brother, I missed the Ford, and the Chevrolet came in early. We were leaving on Friday, and he called me Wednesday and said, come down to my wife's office. She had a little office. And so we went out, and he said, let's go get it. I said, get what? He said, the Chevrolet came in early, and God told us, take your car and give you the new one. There was this beautiful Caprice 9 passenger with imitation paneling, everything on it. As I drove out, I said, devil, come here. I got something to show you. oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I took the dare and God came through. Praise his wonderful name. Just as surely as Jonathan, his armor bearer, took the dare. Make this week the most blessed week of your life. Dare. Dare to share. Dare to do more than you've ever done. Unless you dare to do more than you've ever done, if you want God to do something you've never done, then dare to do something for God you've never done. Reach out beyond what your head tells you. Faith will take you where reason can't walk. Oh, my. I've seen this message produce, the message of giving produce millions around the world. Give God a chance to show you his faithfulness. Somebody say, if you don't have enough to meet your need, turn it into a seed. You want God to do something he's never done for you before? Then do something for God. We don't negotiate with God. We express our giving, our love by our giving. But as we share, we prove that materialism is not controlling us. The God of mammon has no part in our life. We're living for eternal values. So I'll repeat the challenges and probably I'm through. Maybe first notice. You know, opposite somebody believes the pastor when he says, this is my last thought, and he preaches 20 more minutes. You've never had that happen, I have. My wife tells me, you missed 3 good opportunities to bring the message to a close. Oh, my. This gospel hadn't changed you, hadn't reached you. Hadn't got to the billfold, hadn't got to your heart. Where your treasure is, your heart also. We just had Bless Another Week at Christ of Nations last week. You know how much those students gave among themselves? $124,000. Blessing each other. Oh, my. If God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, he can put up a slaughterhouse anywhere he wants to feed his people. Feed you. If you dare to do something today, I challenge you. I challenge you to dare. Dare to take the dare. Dare to spend more time in prayer this week. Dare to back your pastor like you've never backed him before. Dare to be a witness with your life and your words. And dare to share something that costs you just because you love God. Praise his wonderful name. I dare to stare. Look at the harvest. I dare to care. Not enough to say I have faith. James said, faith without works is dead. You can't tell a man that's naked to be clothed and not let you put a suit on him. Or hungry and let you feed him. I dare to pray. Spend more time praying for the harvest. We don't want to go to heaven yet. We got too much to do. I've got waiting open doors all over Latin America and all over Africa and I don't know where else, but our greatest influence is Mexico, and that's where we want to spend the last years of our life. And it's just blessing to see what. You see, when God spreads a table, he's never scanty, it's never a scanty menu. He just stacks it. And God is wanting to bless you and bless you and bless you, but you have to move from the known to the unknown, from your limitations, what God can do. Dare to do something you've never done before. Dare accept the challenge that Jonathan the armor bearer took and changed the whole course of battle and won a great victory. Oh, dare to believe that God is big enough to survive what your faith demands. Dare reach out beyond yourself and you'll be glad you did. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for this church. Thank you that you challenge us to do more than we ever dreamed we could do. We ask you, Lord, that we'll be witnesses with our life and our actions, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you'll make us more fruitful than we've ever been. Increase our faith. Increase our vision through your word. That we will reach out beyond the norm, beyond what our head tells us, into the realm of your creativity, into the realm of your supply by miraculous supply. To the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Call somebody from this congregation, even today, into full-time ministry. And let them be ministered under the ministry and the shepherding of Bob and Joy and other leaders in this church. Bless them, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.